It's time once again to continue our partnership with the Foundation for Community Health. We work with the Foundation for Community Health in bringing forward information about nonprofits in our region, nonprofits that have been helped by the Foundation for Community Health. It's a twofold purpose. We'd like you to know and remind you how important the Foundation for Community Health is to our area for a number of different reasons and the number of different nonprofits they help and advise, but also introduce you to those new nonprofits and the people that work and volunteer at those nonprofits. And today, we're going to be speaking with Danny Hutnick. He is a licensed master social worker and Comida de Vida Food of Life food pantry manager, and he's our guest this morning. Good morning.
Well, I mean, for as long as I can remember, my family was always in a helping profession. And when I was a middle schooler, I think was my first opportunity to volunteer for the town where I grew up. And at that time, the Youth Bureau was hosting this group that was out in the community doing all kinds of beautification projects, supporting soup kitchens, supporting food pantries, and based on that experience, I was surrounded by 26 social workers, and I think from really early on, it just clicked. I was appointed to the town council as a youth liaison, and really having a pulse on the community as a member of the community, as a someone who was not only participating in organizations that were providing support for community members, but also as a one-time user of those support services. I think all of that sort of gelled together, and when I graduated high school and began my higher learning, that was when I really began to hone in on human services and social work. My licensure just seemed to be the next step after graduate program for the kind of work that I wanted to do, supporting adolescents and families in communities of need. Fast forward a decade or so into the work and moving into Armenia, New York with my husband who works for an art nonprofit here locally and began volunteering for Comida de Vida just at the onset of the pandemic and sort of having a closer look at what the need in the immediate Armenia, Wasaic, Dover, Millerton, Lakeville, Millbrook area and feeling that I needed to do something here locally, that I needed to connect on a different level with my neighbors and friends and, people in the grocery store and the places where I visit. It's a long history of service and I think a really nice pathway to Comida de Vida, Food of Life here at St. Thomas in that we began to establish our roots in this area back in 2014. And so it's just kind of an evolution of my career and my professional mission of supporting others.
What's interesting about your story is every once in a while, people are very lucky and they get channeled into an area. I was the same way. In grammar school, my father was an entertainer. I knew right away, I used to listen to radio, that in grammar school and in high school, that I was going to become a broadcaster. And by knowing it that early, it's, to me, it doesn't seem that I've worked a day in my life because I'm doing something that from being really 8, 9, 10 years old to now at 70, I just have been doing it every day of my life. Do you find that's the same way with the commitment that you have?
Absolutely. It's really poignant what you said because my dad used to say, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. And I feel like that's exactly what has happened for me. I mean, it's a lot of work. And as a new parent, I can say that I definitely have days that feel more challenging and new ways of being tired that I didn't know I could be. But the work itself does not. This is not work that exhausts you. That exhausts someone. This is not work that feels daunting or mundane or arduous in any way. It feels like a very much like a calling, like a good fit. And I was about 7 years old when my mother started to lose her vision, and ultimately she became blind, or completely blind in 1995. And I was away at the time at a relatively prestigious internship in Orlando, Florida, and I just remember that was a really a pivotal moment as well for me, thinking like, you know, I've always done for her as best as I could, as best as I was able to at such an early age. And I remember being very aware of that at 19 years old, that something's different here for me. This journey that I'm on, this social work field, and just supporting others in need is what I'm supposed to do. And I'm happy doing it.
All right. Well, you know, let's talk a little bit. Lord Almighty, how did you get through COVID-19? Just all that starting all at once.
right. Well, to start with the mission, I mean, we just, to paraphrase, we are in full belief that, full belly can be the gateway to change for people in their lives, and whatever change that needs to be, including just resolving hunger. We value all of our neighbors that come here, and we want them to have a cheerful, pleasant, dignified experience, a genuine experience. Every one of our volunteers, and we are 100% volunteer operated, are talking with our neighbors as friends, as neighbors would talk with neighbors, in fact. And we're talking about the kind of food and the quality of the food, and how we got through the pandemic was, I think, just meeting our neighbors in the places where they were at in terms of their need, and listening to those varied stories and just being present. It was by no means an easy lift in a parking lot out of a parish house originally. As we got busier and busier, and the numbers doubled and tripled and quadrupled and quintupled, and then whatever comes after that, we just doubled down our efforts, and we reached out to the community and sought out more volunteers. We sought out more partners. When I came on board, one of the missions that I was charged with was locally tapping into farmers here and finding out what are their needs. Right, they're our neighbors as well. Are they experiencing any hardships during this really difficult time of not only pandemic but global warming and impacts of unseasonable weather, and also shifts of income levels and jobs and people being able to access local foods? And so we were able to save a lot of food by the generosity and the forward thinking of local farmers who were like, okay, We would love to make an in-kind donation, and not just food. Some of those farmers have come and volunteered at the pantry. They've also posted signs and encouraged their clients that if they have the ability to make a monetary contribution. Obviously, the Foundation for Community Health has just been so generous and so monumental to the not only the physical construction of the space of our harvest house, but also with the giving garden and the bounty that we're able to produce.
you know, I'm glad you bring that up, because that's one of the purposes of that we do these various interviews. The Foundation for Community Health doesn't get involved in running the organization, but boy, once they work with the organization and put together and help put together monetary solutions and help set up the programs, mm-hmm. it really makes such a difference. It's a difference of whether you're there or not.
Absolutely, and I mean, we are just eternally grateful for the folks that have that creative thinking and that reach and bandwidth of resource and funds, also of intention, of recognizing what we do and how important it is for everyone to feel dignified, no matter what their situation may be, and how essential food is. I mean, it's so interesting how foods, right, certain foods, all foods really sustain life, but some can take life, and in the absence of food, what is someone left with? Hmm. And so during this time when people are feeling despair and coming out of that and feeling the shifts of everything that's going on economically, politically, this has really been a haven for a lot of people. And again, with the concrete need of food, but also meeting some of those needs that maybe folks aren't as aware of, but just that neighborly, genuine kindness.
So we're speaking right now with Danny Hutnick, and he is the Food of Life food pantry.
Sure. Days like today actually make me wonder, how did this happen? You know, as I'm staring at cases and cases of stuffing and scalloped potatoes, and we have a pallet loaded with whole chickens. Part of the process is really just looking at our weekly numbers and our monthly numbers, engaging how many visitors, you know, how many neighbors are coming to us. We also have a very small delivery program, and so we take all of our numbers first and foremost, and think about, okay, we need to feed this many people for 3 days, because we are a three-day pantry. There are seven-day pantries. We are a three-day pantry. So we start with our mission, of course, with a three-day food program, so three meals per day, per person, per household, whatever the composition of the household looks like. So that could be newborn up to senior, and pets, because we also do make sure that we are providing cat and dog food, and we do have two rabbits that we feed right now. So then looking through first the regional food bank for placing orders, trying to keep in mind what we can access that's organic, what we can access that may be low to no salt or sugar, trying to balance grains with proteins, vegetables, again, ordering in, from our farm partners. One of our farm partners locally right here in Sharon, New York, Q Farms, has been incredibly generous. We receive eggs from them, whole chickens. We receive sausage and ribs, just an incredible amount of protein. And those are all in-kind donations, right? They are just donating these things to our neighbors. Then once all the sort of like ordering of the food is and what's available is looked at, I work on a weekly menu. So thinking about not necessarily just putting a bunch of cans and boxes in the bag, but looking at, okay, well, I have crackers, I've got tuna, and I've got Italian dressing or olive oil, mayonnaise. So, okay, this together will be part of a larger meal, and maybe there's rice and beans or cauliflower, and you know, again, just trying to think it through for breakfast. Right, there's walnuts, there's pancake mix, do we have syrup, there's jelly or peanut butter, and trying to create what would be a meal, right, and hopefully a good meal. And then the volunteers kick in. I mean, they just show up. It's amazing. And that was already a well-running machine before I walked into the organization. But the volunteers come early in the morning. They get the bags prepared and labeled for household size. two to eight, and then they start placing those items in the bag. All that is done prior to Friday afternoons, which is when we actually have our distribution. So if 2 p.m. on Fridays, our tents are up, our tables are out, and then we have multiple choice items. So when a neighbor arrives to our check-in station, they will give their name and the household size. Most of our volunteers, our greeters, already know the families, but we check them in, and then it starts from there. They choose their plant-based or meat-based protein. They choose coffee or tea or cereal or oatmeal. They will also choose the dairy items that they want, so that they, again, in that dignified and genuine way, it's like the grocery store, right? You're choosing what you'll actually enjoy instead of coming up. I mean, I remember in the 80s and 90s, you know, seeing lines of people out in the cold, in all different weather, just getting boxes, just a box being slid across a table. Whatever is in it, that's what you got. And we are certainly trying to reshape the way people think about food pantries and food in general. So we then, after those choice items, it just continues. We have an entire produce, a green grocer section, which is about 24 feet long. And again, they're just, you know, our neighbors are just selecting what they want. At the very end of their visit, before they head out, in addition to what we hope has been really wonderful and brief conversations along the way, we have a happy table. And on the happy table is where we're putting different items. So we'll get granola bars. We have local, a lot of our local neighbors that donate themselves, or I should say that they make donations, granola bars, cereal packs, juice boxes. A lot of it does, a lot of it's like a single carryaway item, which is great because for our neighbors that have kids, we can't always access those items through the different resources that we have available, but through the donations of our neighbors, and our, through the St. Thomas side, the parish members, it's really a great, way to end the experience. And that again was, that happy table was established before I came aboard, but what I've done to try to really sustain that is make sure we have volunteers there always, and they're just listening differently and active listening in case there's any other needs that someone may present with, and then we do what we can for that, you know, meeting that need if it's a referral or something like that.
All right, so as we wrap this up, if somebody's out there listening and they need your help, or somebody is out there listening and they would like to volunteer or they'd like to donate,
So the best way to contact, if you are someone that is experiencing food insecurity right now, or if you are someone who would just like to make a donation of a monetary donation or a donation of your time, please call 845-373-9161, 845-373-9161. Also in the St. Thomas, our website, and I'm not sure if there's a way to link that, but just a simple stthomasarmenia.com. There's no additional characters. And there is a tab that you can click for the Food of Life Comida de Vida pantry and all the services and supports that anyone would want to provide.
When we put this up on our on-demand page and also on our Facebook page, when people click on it, they'll get all the links and they'll get all that information when they click on it there. Well,
yes, thank you so much, Marshall. I'm a big fan of the show, and I really appreciate the time to speak with you.
All right. Take care. Have a great day.
Thank you.
That is just an amazing, amazing group of people. All right. We have nothing but amazing people on here, really, honest to gosh. And once again, this is presented by the Foundation for Community Health. We put this together, and we do as many interviews as we can possibly do over the course of a year.